Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, the Bible identifies to us that God expects us to avoid hypocrisy and to live a humble life before Him. In this, God calls us to be righteous, and when we look in regard to the way in which God calls us to be righteous, God wants us to be right, not according to our own sight or not according to the ways of the world, but rather to stand right before Him. And in order for us to be righteous or to be right before God, we must understand His Word and apply it to our life to live a life that is saturated by righteousness as is defined in and throughout Scripture. In order for you and me to be righteous and at the same time to make certain that our righteousness is not self-righteousness, because God condemns this, we must have a desire to do what God commands us to do. And in this then, not only should we aspire to be the type of person that God commands us to be as Christians, but God also wants us to understand that true righteousness will require effort. You and I must put forth each and every day an effort that says, I want to be a better person. I want to make certain that I'm not living a hypocritical life and that as God would look at me, that indeed I would be counted as an individual who is humble. Why is it necessary for us to live humbly before God? Because whenever we live a life that is humble before God, then God will be the one who exalts us. In this then, not only do we need to understand that it takes an effort, but in like figure it takes commitment, that we will indeed commit ourselves each and every day, and then based out of that, then we're committing ourselves to live faithfully before God every moment of our time here that God supplies us. Also, God says that we need to have a self-examination of our life continually to look inwardly to the person that we are, to look also outwardly, I guess, if you would, to the way in which we're living. And then as we look to the type of person we are and the life that we are living, we're doing the comparison from the Scripture and not to ourselves or not in some other direction. And we're going to talk about that a little further tonight. And we need also then to have a proper understanding of who we are, of ourselves. But also we need to have a proper understanding of our God and also of His inspired Word. Tonight, I want us to draw the lesson from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through verse 14. And in the context here, the Scripture presents two men. One is a Pharisee and the other is a tax collector. And as individuals read this, they might be surprised to find that the Pharisee is not the one who is truly righteous before God, but rather it is the tax collector. And the Scripture tells us why Jesus presents these two men in a parable, because some came to Him trusting in themselves. And in this then, we find is that they were practicing self-righteousness in the fact that they were exalting themselves and they were despising others. From the context of what our Lord says concerning the Pharisee, we would deduce is that this man certainly was a very religious man. The context reveals unto us is that the two men, the tax collector and the Pharisee, had gone to the temple to pray. It was a requirement of the Jews for them to go to the temple and to pray unto our God and our Creator. And certainly you and I can relate with that. Why? Because God wants you and me to understand the necessity of prayer in our everyday walk of life. Well, God had required these people to pray unto Him. And the Pharisee had had religious about him to where he understood that this was a requirement of God. And also we can deduce is that he would have desired to have prayed unto our God. Seemingly also, I believe the context would reveal is that he was a good man. He says, God, I thank You that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. He says, I'm just with all men. He says, I thank You that I am not unjust. He says, I thank You that I'm not an adulterer. He was faithful in his relationship with his spouse. And then he goes on a little bit further and he includes the tax collector. He says, and I thank You that I'm not like the tax collector, the publican, the sinner, is basically what he's saying. He was exalting himself, making himself out to be someone different. In this, then, we find is that he was definitely self-righteous. He was not looking to the standards of God to determine his righteousness, but rather he was comparing himself to others that he saw in the world and he was comparing himself to the individual that he saw standing far off, this tax collector, and he was comparing himself to himself. He says, I'm not a bad person. And for that reason, certainly, God would see me as righteous in His sight. Good people, from the context of this Scripture, we understand is that God condemned this individual. Why did God condemn the Pharisee? Because he was hypocritical. He was claiming to be a child of God. He was claiming to have righteousness that was righteous in the sight of God, but still, good people, he was not practicing what it was that he was preaching. He was not following the guide that God had laid forth for people to be counted as righteous in His sight. As we look to the tax collector, good people, we understand is that this man was a very humble individual. Why is that? If you'll note from the context of Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, the tax collector stood afar off. Why did he stand afar off? Most commentators would say, and I would agree with them, is that this individual, he was humble and he understood his position with God. And therefore, there was this hesitancy about him to go up to the temple and to pray. Why? Because he felt insufficient, because he felt unworthy to go that far. And in this, then, we understand concerning the idea of this man that he was much different than the Pharisee. The Pharisee felt as if he certainly could enter into the temple and pray, and this man stood afar off. He exemplifies during this time is that he was humble in the sight of God, but also we understand that he was a man who was filled with great emotion. When he lifted up his voice unto God, the Scripture tells us that he beat his chest. He's crying out. He felt inwardly that he was not right with God. He felt as if he needed God. He depended upon God. And in this, then, he expresses this by beating his chest. It's a sign of grieving as to the way in which he saw himself. How did he see himself? The Scripture identifies unto us. He says, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner, is what he's saying. He knew that he required the mercy that only God can give. And that mercy there that God extends is the forgiveness of individual sin. And as he went before God, and with this feeling of unworthiness as a sinner, he wanted to turn to God for God's forgiveness. In the end, we understand that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why is that? Because he had humbled himself before God. And God identifies that those who humble themselves and will seek true righteousness, that He will exalt. But He says those who think themselves to be humble, He says that those individuals will indeed be humbled whenever they stand before Him in the day of judgment, because they too shall be like the Pharisee and not like the tax collector who stood condemned in His sight. We live in an age today where so many people want to compare themselves to the people of this world. They will say that I'm not the most perfect Christian, yet at the same time, at least I'm better than the people who are in this world. And in that, I say in answer to that, shouldn't we be better? Shouldn't we live better rather than the people in this world? And if we are making a comparison to ourselves in regard to our righteousness before God based out of the people in this world, good people, we need to understand that that is a very dangerous comparison. Why? According to what our Lord taught in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 25, the world did not then at that time, nor does it today, know our God. And therefore, if we are comparing ourselves to those individuals who are of the world who do not know God, how can we expect to be righteous in the sight of God by basing or comparing ourselves according to those people who do not know Him, who do not serve Him, who do not understand His Word? If that is our means of comparison, we are, as Jesus explains in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, allowing ourselves to be led by those who are blind. And whenever we are guided by those who are blind, then we are going to be like them. Both are going to end up in the ditch. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? Good people, if we allow ourselves to compare our life and our righteousness, if you would, before God, according to the standards that the world says, then we're going to be just like them in the day of judgment. We're going to be lost eternally. We cannot follow. We must not compare ourselves to the world. At best, if we compare ourselves to the world, and if we are able in doing that comparison to be better than the world, we're going to be one step higher than the world. And good people, God wants us to be a lot higher than those in the world. Why? Because His holy standard is higher, so much higher than anything that this world has to offer. A few people also, though, will compare themselves to religious individuals. They will say, I may not be the most faithful Christian in the world, but at least I am in the right church. And in that, that says to me that at least they do have, in that statement and in that comparison, an understanding that there is but one church. There is but one church that belongs to God. Why? Because Christ died for the church and established the church through the shedding of His blood, and therefore the Lord's church will bear His name and comply with His doctrine. Yet in this, is it safe for us to gauge our relationship with God based out of religious people? You say, Kevin, what do you mean? These people worship God in vain. They worship God according to the wrong standards. They worship God in ways that have been dreamed up through the minds of man. And therefore, whenever we come to our worship, would you feel safe in saying that at least we're better than the religious world? We're not doing everything that they're doing, but still we're doing part of what they're doing, even though we can't find it in Scripture? You say, Kevin, that's absurd. That would not be right for us to do so. And I would say, amen. Good people, we cannot practice what they practice. Why? Because it is wrong. And if we do so, then our righteousness in that manner would be wrong before God. But also take and compare that whenever we think about serving God in life. You look to the way that the religious world serves God in life, and they will say that it's okay for somebody who is in an unscriptural marriage, for them to stay in that marriage, and yet they're going to be right with God. Can we, in a safe way, say that it's okay for us to look to that standard that they place, that they say is okay, and expect God to look to us and to say, well, at least I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is not good, but still at least I'm not doing that, God. It's not going to be excusable whenever we stand before God. Their righteousness, self-righteous ways, are going to be condemned whenever they stand before God. And if we allow ourselves to compare our lives, our worship and our lives to them, good people, we will be no better than they are in that day also. Sometimes, though, many will compare themselves to fellow Christians. In this, they will say, at least I'm better than Jimmy Bob. We don't have any Jimmy Bobs here, so I thought I would use that. At least I'm better than Jimmy Bob. Jimmy Bob thinks that he is everything. And you and I are commanded by God to understand that we are not to compare ourselves to others who would commend themselves. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says that it is not wise. Why does he say that it's not wise? Because it is extremely dangerous to compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because no one is perfect. Everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. And if we're looking to stand justified before God based out of the fact that we might live a little bit better than Jimmy Bob, or anyone else for that matter, good people, we can expect to fall short of pleasing God, not only in this life, but whenever we would stand before Him in judgment. The Scripture says that if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In this, we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, that says a lot within itself. God wants us to think something of ourselves, to love ourselves, but still not to let it go to our head, not to let it go to an extreme. In this, He says, though, that we are to think soberly, to think with a clear mind, and to understand that indeed we're not exalted above anyone else, but rather that we stand continually upon the forgiveness and the mercy of God, is what the tax collector certainly understood from the context. Others will compare themselves to themselves. In this, God wants us to understand, good people, that while we may be a good person within itself is not going to make it to heaven. We've got to We've got to make certain that our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. We've got to make certain that we are not practicing self-righteousness. How will we be able to see if we are truly living a righteous life before God? Good people, we need to turn to the righteous one. We need to make certain that we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is indeed our true and faithful example. Jesus Himself says in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And He says, "Learn of me." As we look in regard to the context here, it is an invitation by Christ unto all who are in the world who are suffering with burdens, and certainly the greatest burden that we have in our life that we bear and that He wants to take away from us is the burden of sin. Why? Because not only does it come in the form of bringing upon us a feeling of burden, but also God says that it comes with consequences. And you and I understand that as Christians, and Jesus says, "Come and lean upon me," but He says, "Learn of me." The Scripture says to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, that we need to consider the Apostle, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we think about considering Him, we need to understand that He has left us an example in all things. In the context of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, He's given us an example in suffering. But you and I know that it goes even beyond that. He's given us an example with all of His life. And in this, then, we need to examine the life and the teachings of Jesus. And as we see how that He stood righteous before God, and Noah read our Scripture a few moments ago, that we need to take upon ourselves the mind of Christ who humbled Himself. You see humility in the life of Christ continually, in every turn, in everything that He says. And you and I need to take and to implement that type of living in our life to where we do not only claim to be a child of God, but good people, that we indeed step where He stepped, that we follow the guide that He has laid before us. But also, if we want to make certain that we are righteous before God, God has given us His inspired Word. That is the standard and the guide for everything that we do in life. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, in the context, he begins that by saying all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All, meaning the Old Testament in the context, but also it would be inclusive of every Scripture that we have from God, and therefore it would include the New Testament Scripture. And in this, he says that it is profitable. Well, what's he mean that it's profitable? It's beneficial. It's going to bring something to those who read and study it. He says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Note this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God calls us to works. He calls us to do good work. And good people, the only way in which we can make certain that we're doing those good works and that we are practicing true righteousness before God is if we turn to the standard or guide that our God has given unto us. And in the New Testament, we're not alone. God has always given man instruction in regard to how they can be seen as righteous before Him. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, David says there that God's Word served as a lamp unto his feet and as a light unto his path. What's he trying to say? Good people, he is illustrating is that he needed God's Word in whatever direction he was going in life. And you and I need God's Word certainly to guide us. We need to be like Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man to direct his steps. And if we come to that understanding, we're well on our way of making certain that we're not hypocritical in the sight of God and that our righteousness is not self-righteous, but rather that we're practicing godly righteousness as we seek to live here and to please our God. In this then, we also are told through what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that through God's divine power or guidance, He's given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness, the Bible. I heard years ago an acronym as to what the Bible stands for. We know what the Bible is, but I like this. What does the Bible stand for? Basic instruction before leaving earth. And by all means, isn't that true? I mean, it's basic. Anyone can get it. Even I get it. We can read and study from the Bible. It is essential for us to understand the things that God has for us. It is the standard, and good people, it is the guide unto making certain that our righteousness is right in the sight of God. But also, it is that personal effort and commitment that we talked about at the very onset of the lesson tonight, is that each and every day we must do a full examination of our life in order to make certain that we are right. Why? Because there's a way that seems right to men, and the end thereof is the way of death. And each and every day we need to remind ourselves of that. Each and every day as we read and study the Bible, we need to make certain that as we are reading and studying the Scripture, we are not only reading it for the context of what it is saying from a contextual standpoint, and you've heard me say in classes and sermons before, we need and we must understand the context of what's going on, but also as we're reading and studying, sometimes we will read and study and say, well, how does this apply to the church? And that's important too for us to do. Or we might say, well, how does this apply to a situation that I'm dealing with at work or at school? Let's read and study it also in this way. How does it fit in regard to my relationship with God? What is God's Word saying here? And am I living up to the standard that He requires of me to live in order for me to truly be righteous in the sight of God? And as we make that examination in our life and where we would find that we would have things in our life that would be amiss and that we might be counted before God as self-righteous or hypocritical, let's be the type of person then that would say, as I believe the tax collector was, who beat his chest, and let's grieve over our sin and over the things that we would find amiss in our life to the point to where we would want to stand right with God and make those changes continually. You see, humility and respect for God are essential in order to make certain that our righteousness is right before God. Those who are filled with pride, the Scripture tells us in the Old Testament that God hates. Why does God hate? Because these individuals, their life is about the I, me, my thing. Their life is about what they want out of life. And if life is about us, only us, or about personal pleasures here in this world, good people, we don't have any room for God. And God's not going to be pleased with that. We've got to humble ourselves, and then in humbling ourselves and living humbly before God, then we will be like the tax collector where God says that He will exalt us. In this then, how will that work? When we see ourselves as to who we are before God, that He is everything and we are nothing in comparison to Him, we want to change our standard of living to come up. And as we're coming up, we see a God who is pleased with us, who loves us, and therefore we are exalted in His sight with the promise of salvation throughout eternity. Those, though, who do not respect God's Word, our God or His Word, then they can count that they will never be righteous before God. Why? Because they will lack the standard, the true standard of what it takes in order for one to be righteous before God. If we do not read and study God's Word with respect, good people, there's no way that we will ever be righteous before Him. We may stand righteous in our own sight. We may even look righteous before the world, or before the religious world even. But you know, it's not those people that we need to be concerned about. It is righteousness before God that ought to concern us and ought to motivate us to live humbly and in a righteous manner each and every day of our life here. Tonight, are you here and you're outside of the body of Christ? If so, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to become as we are, to become one of His children, to have your sins washed away. And then we want to encourage you to do as we're striving to do each and every day, and that is to live humbly before God, to live faithful before God in such a way that you will please Him now, and so that you will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him in the end.